GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. A cracking weekend ahead, and myself and Rory are joined by Brendan Cummins. And this feels like it's Christmas week for hurling fans, Brendan. Three cracking finals to look forward to, and I think particularly the Munster final between Limerick and Clare just has everybody so excited. I know you're going to be working on this. Myself and Rory will be on tenterhooks watching this as well, like all of the other hurling fans in the country. It's going to be amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think this year, in fairness to both round robins, both in Leinster and Munster, have been absolutely amazing, throwing up shocks and fantastic matches all around. And you're right, there is that feel that it's the booster has been hit this week. And certainly there's no doubt about that when you're talking about Leinster and Munster finals. So no, it is. It's a great time. And obviously over the next maybe three weekends or so left in the hurling championship. So we're certainly going to be trying to make the most of it. And this weekend in Turles especially is going to be absolutely unbelievable, whether Clare can eventually win a provincial title, having won the National League. Brian Owen, I suppose, would have felt that was serious progress. He was under pressure, there's no doubt, I think, to get silverware. I mean, there's no point in having a golden generation doing really well and being top of the Munster Championship table, but not having won silverware. So I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Clare this weekend to try to deliver and eventually get over the line against Limerick in the final, which, funny enough, nobody seems to be able to do in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of it as well. And I think for them, Rory, the fact that Limerick have their own piece of history this weekend, you know, first ever county to do 6 in a row in Munster. I know it's only the smaller piece of silverware that they're obviously chasing, but if you're a group and you're consistently looking to try keep winning, keep winning, keep winning, surely you need new motivation every time. And I think that's a big one for them, for this group.
It's huge. I don't know, has it gathered a huge amount of publicity or attention either? The fact that that's what they're actually looking to try and do and create history, become, you know, arguably the greatest team, certainly in Munster anyway. And then they'll turn matters more towards a national context. But like, I think Clare have only won 6 Munster championships in their entire history. And Limerick are looking to do that in one run on Sunday. It puts into context the extraordinary levels of achievement that the team has managed to eke out over the last 7-8 years since they started their run. The thing about it doesn't necessarily feel like it's been, they've had it all their own way. You know, it's been a tough 6 Munster championships to win. They've suffered a good few defeats along the way. And Cork have beaten them a couple of times. They've had a couple of draws. Clare have beaten them. But I think to go back to Brendan's point, finals. Like, this is the remarkable thing about them. They always reserve their best displays for the biggest days. And I'd expect the same again on Sunday.
Mm. Let's guess, Jackie, just on that. I mean, when you're talking about doing 6 in a row and how they're doing it and all, you'd always look as an external stimulus to get you going as a team. Like, you know, we must create history, Mr. Lewis. But I think in fairness to John Kiley and Kinnerth, their magic really has been that the team has to get better, that the individual gets better, and therefore we'll win, rather than looking for an externally. So as a group, we need to get better every year. Not that we need to be motivated to win 6 in a row. Can you beat your stats in the last match? Can you beat your metrics in the last game? Can you get more hooks, blocks, tackles? Can you use the ball more efficiently than we did in the last game? I think that's been the key, that they haven't really ever looked ahead to the prize. They just said, as a collective, we are going to get better every single year. And that's what they've done. And if the pack can catch up and beat us, well, then that's great. But we're not going to be motivated by external things like winning Munster finals and all that. It's just that I think has been a big secret to the longevity of the group and the consistency that they've shown. And like what Rory said, any time, like the last 15 minutes against Waterford, they were 2 points up playing against the wind. And you'd have said to yourself, uh-oh, there's bother here. And next thing, they just turned on the jets. Mm-hmm. And that was that, like.
Can I ask you a question about that, Brendan, right? Because I think that's really interesting what you've just said there. John Kiely, after that last game, the first thing that he said was, the data is pointing to us playing better. And I would have thought, looking in, you know, they were only sort of middling at points, but they have gradually been getting better and better and better. And you would argue, like, even when they lost against Cork, they were starting to find a rhythm. And it's just that was the thing that John clung to, even though on the outside people would have said this Limerick team are not playing as well as they have in previous years, but we're probably comparing their performances to the latter part of previous years as opposed to where they are now. And I thought that was really interesting that was the first thing he said.
Yeah, the race is always against yourself. I think when you get to that level, like, that's where it's at, and you have such a very, very good team. You know you're the best horse in the race, so why compare yourself to the rest of the teams that are in the race? You compare yourself to being better than your previous performance. And you go back to 09 when they beat Tipperary in that, or 19 when they beat Tip in that Munster final. When he was asked after the game, he said, what happened? Well, we looked at our work rate. It wasn't that where it should be. So, like, you can see him inside the dressing room going, this is what we expect of ourselves. This is where we are now. The gap is how we're going to fix it, and let's do it. So at the end of the game, all things being equal, if we can bridge that gap, we'll win the match. And that's what they're doing, and they're consistently doing it. So there is a trick to that. I know Caroline Curd, I think, is back inside within the setup again. All that kind of stuff feeds into helping the collective to operate at a high performance level, which is a word that's bandied around by every team. But to actually live those values is what Limerick are doing. And I think that's been unbelievable management. And from the players themselves, to buy in as much as they have, to just week on week getting better. Look, that's the trick, like.
Well, if they have managed to get Caroline Currid back in, that is a big feat in itself, Rory, because I think for this team to be able to skate together, to be able to keep building, has been phenomenal. What about Clare then? Because Brendan's right. I think there's a different pressure on them. For Limerick, it's that pressure of, you know, potentially being the greatest, you know, everything that goes with that. But for Clare, no Munster title in 26 years, losing six finals since then, being within touching distance of Limerick, but not getting over the line. Psychologically, how big is this weekend?
It's huge, because like if you were to take away all of that, if you were to take away the fact that this is their third meeting, if you were to take away all of the history, if you were to take away Clare's lack of success at Munster level since however long, the fact that so many of them don't have Munster medals, this is a local derby. These are two teams that probably some of whom I'm sure went to school together, some of whom went to college together, some lads who might have hurled together even at club level. They drift in and out across the border. They know each other so well. Like, if you took away all of the other things and you just had that alone as your proviso for adding spice to the mix for Sunday's match, you would be set for a fantastic cocktail. And then you add in the last 2 years, obviously 2 years, the Munster final from 2 years ago, which was, I think, in many people's view, certainly in mine anyway, the best Munster final I've ever seen. And last year we had more controversy. I think it's big for Clare, though. It's big for Clare. I think they, in some ways, maybe the fact that they lost a bit of a sickener in the early rounds of the round robin might be something for them to kind of go after and say, look, we left that game behind us. We're not going to do the same this Sunday. I think last year's fixture was obviously in the Gaelic grounds. I thought that was a mistake. This time round, it's obviously heading for where all Munster finals probably should be. And it'll be a neutral venue. It's going to be a packed house. I don't think there's any more excuses for them. I think they have more or less a full deck to pick from. Even Tony Kelly, you know, should be fit. And it's a case of, where does he start? No, people are saying if you put him in, it's going to create a selection conundrum because some of their forwards have been playing so well. Do they deserve to be dropped? But then again, it's Tony Kelly. So I think, look, it's all set up, I think, for Clare to really go after it. I think they have to.
I do think, Brendan, right, to Rory's point, there's two parts of it. One is that they know they can put Limerick on the racks, but two, they haven't got the job done. And that, at some point, if you don't get it done, then it maybe externally, internally, something creeps in that, why can we not get across the line against this team? And particularly, no bigger day than a Munster final to actually prove it to yourselves and to everybody else that you can do it.
Yeah, and I think the other factor there is form. I don't think Clare are going as well this year as they were the previous 2 years now. they seem to be stuttering a small bit. I saw them below in Ennis against Watford, and when they got ahead again in Watford, they just didn't put them away. Like, you know, the ferocity that we'd have seen in previous years in Ennis, like when they're just a frenzy. It just, they're searching for it and they haven't really found it. And I wouldn't say it's a hangover from the league, because I think sometimes that can be used as an excuse of all of us looking in. I just think that maybe Tony Kelly, they were hoping, I'd say Tony Kelly will be back sooner than this, to the good old Tony Kelly, silver bullet, playing wing forward, midfield, bouncing up around the place, giving them that bit of energy that they're looking for. And I don't think that has landed now. I think a small bit of doubt Slimmick put in him in Cusick Park that day, in the last 10 minutes, might be a little bit still nestling in the back of their head. The positive for me with them is when I see John Conlon now, he's actually hurling with wing mirrors on. He's looking behind him. So above against Watford today now, I was keeping a good eye on him. I know obviously Watford played with De Burka sitting as well, so his role was a little bit similar. But at the same time, he's all the time looking over his shoulder to try to protect Cleary behind him. So that was a progression for me in the messages that he's getting. So that will definitely have to happen, I think, in Turles on Sunday. He's definitely going to have to know when to protect his full back line and when to push up. And of course, that's the conflict for Clare. The reason they've done so well against Limerick over the years is they pushed up on them. They've gone man for man all over the pitch. And they said, right, let's leave our full back line exposed. Let's hit you everywhere on the pitch and not let you play through the lines, as we always spout about Limerick. So the balance is going to be key, but I still don't think that Limerick are coming in, or Clare are coming into this one as full of buzz as they would have been last year, the year before now. I think that's a little bit of a concern for them.
And is that because of the Tony Kelly? Does that contribute to it? Because when he did slot back into the team, it did seem to, we thought it would solidify them. We thought, oh yeah, this will be great. But actually, because they had been doing so well in his absence, it did seem to upset the apple cart a small bit as well. And I wonder if those two things are actually related.
Yeah, and I suppose the other side, if you're talking about the glass half full for Clare, you're obviously saying Tony's first game was against Limerick. He hadn't played, like, I mean, in fairness to him, like, very few animals like Tadhg De Burka can just plug into a match and play like they were playing all through the National League.
At that level, yeah.
The run of games, like, you know, so especially in the way he plays and the style and the kind of feel he has for the game, he has to go chasing the ball, whereas De Burka, for example, sits the centre-back and the ball kind of follows him around for all the world. So, yeah, I think that the couple of games Tony will have gotten and the kind of, I suppose, competitor that he is, but you're right, it does throw the balance ever so slightly. And when you're looking over your shoulder, if you're a forward for Clare, you're going, look, like in the last 20 minutes, they're going to put on Tony Kelly. Will it be me that's taken off? Do you know? So you're kind of hurling with a bit of that behind you, shadow behind you as well. So, look, it will be interesting to see. And maybe it's the best place Clare could be coming into this game, not having amazing form as far as I can see. They stuttered a bit over Tipperary. You know, the Watford game at home, I thought, as I said, the energy, I didn't feel that intensity coming off the pitch that I normally do off a Clare team. So, but like Rory said, it's all in now on Sunday, and every game is a moment in time. And if Clare can get there, get everything in order and get all buzzed up for this one, they are the team, I think, that can beat Limerick still. They're the, I think.
And selection is going to be very interesting, Jackie, on both teams, because obviously we know Seamus Flanagan won't be playing. We know Peter Casey is out, and they would probably be two automatic starters for the Limerick inside line. And by the way, I think they give Limerick so much in a defensive capacity. Like, they really do start from the front. The amount of work they get through in terms of, you know, closing down, shutting down any notions of any short puck outs and going after, making sure that the ball isn't going back to front as quickly and as easy as possible. So that will present a problem. I mean, not a problem. Look, it's just going to be very interesting to see how, like, if Darragh Donovan is fit, does that mean Cian Lynn, does he start and is he good enough? Or sorry, not. Of course, we know he's good enough, but is he fit enough to go in from the beginning? If he does, where does Cian Lynch get released to? Does that mean then somebody gets pushed in to replace Peter Casey and Seamus Flanagan? What do you do with Cathal O'Neill? You know, you've got Shane O'Brien who came on the last day. So, like, I think from a Limerick perspective, the selection issues are equally interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I think Shane O'Brien will probably come in, will he?
Yeah. Right? Well, you probably will, yeah.
as a wild card, he'd be on Hogan, and they always like to have that bit of height inside there, which is important. And the other side too is, will they leave Cleary and Gallan? Will Gallan stay inside the edge of the square and have his usual wrestling match?
Come here, we had a player cam on them right for the Sunday game. We were planning on doing a piece just for the nighttime program, and just timings, whatever, just didn't work. But I said to the lads, I was like, keep that footage, because we'll be coming back to that one again. And hopefully we might get to do something on it on Sunday night. But my God, it was a game in itself watching the pair of them inside there.
Is, but will they, like, will you, like, they play each other so often, right? Yeah. In big finals. Like, somebody has to do something different, like, to try to change the dynamic. Yes, I think John Conlon will play more of a defensive role than an attacking role, we'll say, without the ball, which will be something different Clare will bring to the game that we've seen in the past. But Limerick, I just wonder, like, do you get Gallan to trot into the edge of square himself and Cleary pull, Beckham and drag each other for 70 minutes? He gets the odd point, gets the odd free, the crowd go mad, all this kind of stuff, right? Or do you tell Gallan play 25 or 30 yards from goal for a while and put Shane O'Brien inside on Hogan with a height difference and mismatch in there and say, well, Gallan, you get on the pieces and we'll play out to the sides rather than down the middle on top of you. So that might be a little dynamic. And of course, the other part is when Garrod Hegarty goes into corner forward, what are Clare going to do?
Yeah.
It's going to be another question, because that was a problem they had in Ennis today.
Mm, right. Before we move on then, Brendan, who do you reckon is going to win it?
I think we will see the best of Clare, but I still think in the championship minutes with 15 minutes or so left, I think Limerick will, their process will just be too strong, I think. They'll have lads coming off the bench as well, like Adam English or Dalek. If he doesn't start, comes on. Like Donovan might come on. I think, I don't think he'd start, but he'll certainly come on. But I think Limerick will have that little bit too much again. And there is something about this Limerick team in a final that when they get down the home straight and they sniff a chance of winning like that, I think Limerick will have too much. Yeah.
Part three, Rory. It's going to be a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, like Brendan's right. Like, they just, the bigger the day, the better they play. You know, they just love the big day. That's why I think they're going to be extremely difficult to stop now. I just hope that we're not talking about controversy or any of that rubbish. I think they've appointed a very good referee. And of course, everyone will say, here he goes again. But I do think he's a very good ref, and call him Lyons, and I wish him well. And I think he'll lay down, like, the two teams will know exactly what they can and can't get away with Cullum. So I'd expect full-blooded, fairly full-on, and but Limerick to win.
Bring it on. I am looking forward to it. So Limerick going for 6 in a row. Kilkenny going for 5 in a row in Leinster. And it feels even more under the radar, Brendan, this one, because I don't know if it's just been their relationship with Galway over the last few years, and maybe Galway should have got across the line. But 5 in a row is an unbelievable achievement in itself for them to be going for. And maybe it's because Kilkenny have not hit form yet this season that it feels like this one is completely under the radar.
It has. If you look at the story around the Leinster Championship, last year it was Wexford. This year has been Galway. Kilkenny drew with Carlow. An unbelievable performance from Carlow on the day, but they still drew with Carlow. And now they're in Leinster final, like you said, and they're coming in against Dublin. I think this will be one of the most ferocious Leinster finals we'd have seen in a number of years now. Because Galway over the last couple of years have been okay against Kilkenny, right? They came very close and all that. But there's a freshness with Dublin coming in. Micheál Donoghue has the athleticism of Dublin, which we knew was there. It's really flourishing now in the last two or three games. The hurling, the technique, the shape, the way they're going about their business, Sutcliffe and all, I think this Dublin team are going to cause Kilkenny way more problems than they've had in the previous couple of Leinster finals now. So for me, it's a Leinster final I'm really looking forward to more than the previous ones. But you're right, Kilkenny are just the machine. They just keep grinding it out. Doesn't matter if it's Brian Cody or Ling on the line, whoever's on the line, they just seem to get the job done. And like, you have to say, like, that TJ Reid in the middle of all this, like, I mean, we're fed up talking about the man, but it's important to keep talking about him. He's won 12 or 13 the last day. If Dublin are going to do that this weekend, they better not foul, because he will put every free over the bar. And since I was playing, which seems like it is nearly decades ago, TJ was still putting the ball down. He was still hitting the ball from just above his knee, and it was still arrowing over the bar. So your discipline has to be unbelievably good. And I think teams that have played against Kilkenny so far in this championship, and even last year, the discipline has been brilliant, and they've given TJ loads of opportunity. And that's what's killed the teams that have played Kilkenny, and has them now in a position where they're really looking for these 5 in a row. I mean, it's unbelievable going, even for Kilkenny.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of young dubs in this house, and even they're excited about watching TJ Reid, Rory, because, I mean, Brendan is right. He has been a generational talent, and in a lot of ways, he has dragged Kilkenny over the line in different years. I think the supporting cast around him are going to have to step up big time. John Donnelly, I think, has probably been their go-to man this year, but it's going to have to be more than TJ Reid on Saturday evening if they are going to win in Croke Park, because I think there's a Dublin team coming at them that they are not expecting, and they have been a completely different team in Championship versus League this year.
And there's an awful lot of uncertainty about whether or not John Donnelly is going to be fit to play. I think he's certainly one that's in trouble. I think Mikey Carey is another. And no, Owen Cody is back fit. I think Adrian Mullen's okay, but they might have there's a couple of issues, maybe around one or two more. I think with Kilkenny for me, like, Kilkenny will just be Kilkenny. That's what they will do. They will do Kilkenny. They will get your hooks, blocks in. They will go down fighting. They won't make it easy for Dublin, but then I don't expect Dublin to make it easy for Kilkenny either at this time around. There's a bit more energy in this Dublin team than I've seen for a while. I think they've got legs into the team for the first time in a long time. I mean, the only player really from the Dalo era going all the ways back is Danny Sutcliffe at this point. I know Chris Crummy was kind of coming in at the very beginning of his career at that stage, but he was so young, he hadn't really appeared at that point. They've put a lot of youth into the team. I think Croke Park might suit them. They should have a way more support there, because look, the reality is Kilkenny have a small following. That's just a historical fact. It's not a slight upon them in any way. And I think it will be competitive, but I do think Dublin still will have it all to do, because there's just... Look, there's the traditionalist in me that would suggest that Kilkenny will always feel they'll have Dublin's number. But
well, they've only lost to them one time in 80 years.
80 years in Championship. Like, it's when you've got that kind of stat in your back pocket, you're fighting all the elements and then the weight of history on top of it all. But what an opportunity, Jackie. What an opportunity. You're 70 minutes away from an All-Ireland semi-final. 70 minutes away from winning the second most prestigious medal that you can win in the game of hurling for a Dublin hurler. You're 70 minutes away from you're certainly going to avoid Cork, and you'll probably avoid Limerick in that semi-final as well. The prize is huge. The prize is a big, big one for both teams. And I expect this to be one negative from a Dublin perspective. Can they get a more diverse spread of scorers into the forward line? Is there an over-dependency? Of course there is on Donald Burke. If on one of these days he gets tied up, where will they rack up that 222, 223 that you're going to need? They're the questions from a Dublin perspective. From a Kilkenny perspective, I think with the injuries, are we sure that they have the kind of depth that you're going to require to not only win Leinster, but to compete for All-Ireland? So I think we'll find a little bit more about both come Saturday evening.
I'll come back to Kilkenny in a minute, Brendan, but on Rory's point about Dublin's spread of scorers, the one thing that they have been able to do is they've been able to score goals. They've scored more than Kilkenny. They've scored 10 goals. Kilkenny have only got 8 in the Leinster Championship so far. So they've definitely found a way. It has been through that running game that Rory is talking about, runners breaking through and whatever. But I do think that over-reliance on Donal Burke is something that Micheál Donoghue is acutely aware of, that if he does get tidied up on Saturday night, that they could be in a bit of bother.
Yeah, but I think, Jack, most teams that go into play against Dublin are saying, "God, Mark Donald Burke, and yes, he comes out and he scores 5 or 6 points in match." Because if you think about it, like, he's not going to be in the one spot. That's why I think maybe there might be an argument that Mikey Butler just follows him around and go man for man him. Because Donald Burke does it, he goes at 11, then he plays like down in the middle of the field, nearly his own half back line. Then suddenly he's out in the right half forward position, getting the ball under the Cusick stand and spinning it over the bar. Then he's on the other wing, you know. So he pops up absolutely everywhere. He's like what Tony Kelly used to do for Clare when he was fully fit and motoring, you know. You're just very hard to tie him down. And if he does go at 11 and drifts around the place, then a midfielder's role is going to be to mark him. And most midfielders will do it for a while, but they won't do it all the time because they'll be so engrossed in what's going on in the game that the defensive piece will be gone naturally. So he's very hard. I think Ronan Hayes could be the one weekend now. He'll be inside the full forward line, big, strong, again, athletic. When the ball is hit in long, like Dublin, have been running the ball a lot. Kilkenny's superpower for all the world is turning you over. So I think the biggest fear for Dublin is that they try to run the ball down the middle. TJ or somebody gets that flick in that we're so used to seeing, and then they get caught going the other direction. So I think they might go a little bit longer this time, and Hayes inside in the full forward line, Whitey, they'll be the ones that have to make it stick in there. But there's no doubt Donoghue going to centre-back has been a huge push on now for Dublin. It's freed up Burke around the middle, and he gives him great go forward as well. And he has a freedom to not have to worry about trying to get back the pitch, we'll say. So all those combined, I do think Kilkenny will probably have too much of them. But if Dublin can keep the energy levels through the roof and that frenzy and out of their mind, because I'm sure Micheál Donoghue is going to say to them before they go out, there is no way the fella you're marking can want to win this game more than you. No chance, like. Do you know what I mean? Kilkenny have had so much success, and if they outfight Dublin on this one, like Rory said, it's a huge opportunity for Dublin. And skill aside, if they can win the row in this and win it for long enough, you just never know. Like,
win it for long enough is the key though, Rory, because in the game in Parnell Park, Dublin were in control. You know, like, I was watching the game on TV, a lot of my friends were inside at the game, and they said to me, even the momentum inside there in the last 10 minutes, you could feel the energy sucking out of Dublin. They just didn't have enough to stay on top for 70 minutes. That's the difference, because Dublin know they're good enough to beat Kilkenny. It's just in that final 10 minutes, can they hang in there and can they do something different than what they did in Parnell Park? Albeit there might be some different parties involved and some different people back for Kilkenny too.
Yeah, Brendan, what's the one that you always say about Kilkenny? You nearly need to be 10 pints better than them to beat them by one. Is it?
After the match, and then you know you've won. Like, that's the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I gave years, sorry, on that point, I gave, yeah, like, take the All-Ireland final, I think it was in 10. Like, at halftime of that game, I thought we're 5 or 6 up, and look, the scoreboard, I think we're 1 up.
Yeah.
That's the mind blast that's Kilkenny like. And Dublin will have to get used to that and just say to themselves, right, we're going to be out hurling this crowd, and you're only going to be a point or two up, but that doesn't matter. Stay a point or two up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's it. They're just, like, it's what we all admire about Kilkenny, Jackie. They are just the masters of... Because I put it down to the fact that they're so well versed and they're so well coached and honed on the nitty gritty basics of hooking and blocking, and their ability to get that hurley in to get that last minute and put a little bit of pressure on, get a flick here, their use of the hurley is wand like it, and that's, I think, keeps them in games sometimes when they're not even playing that well, to make sure that even in periods where there might be a lot of damage being done, that they're able to mitigate it and reduce it to a level that whereby, wait, we get you down the home stretch, we make this a contest, we'll do what Kilkenny teams have always done. We'll get a goal or we'll get a couple of points, and the other team then will obviously, you know, the nerves will kick in and Kilkenny will fire for home. But just, like, I think Brendan's point is a really interesting one. There's no way that there should be Dublin players inside that dressing room on Saturday saying that they want it more than we do. They have to really just go after this game from minute 1 to 70 and see where that takes them. And I think they'll have the energy. I think they'll have the legs. I think I think Croke Park might actually suit them in some ways. Croke Park can be, people are saying, oh, look, you know, it's a pitch for legs and energy, but it's also a pitch for skill and your ability to use the ball. So that's a little bit of a double-edged sword. But I still believe that this is their best chance ever. I think they really need to go and grab it. I'm not so sure they will.
Yeah. And you're not either, Brendan. I think both of you, I can feel it in you that you think everyone is up for this Dublin revival. Everybody thinks it's been magic to watch. But I still don't know, in hurling people's heart of hearts, if they think that Dublin can beat Kilkenny in a Leinster final on Saturday.
Yeah, I just hope the little voice in the back of the Dublin players' heads isn't like the little voice in mine that says it's going to go really well. It's going to be really close. They're all going to tell you did really well after the game, but you have lost. And that's the problem, like, and that's the breakthrough. I mean, when Dalo did at the time with Dublin, and I think Micheál Donoghue is in a position now where they've got momentum, they've got confidence in the system. Like, everything is going in the right direction for them. So this is the best opportunity they're going to have, not only just to win the Leinster final, which would be great for them, but to also carry a bit of momentum into the rest of the championship, because it doesn't end on Sunday one way or the other. But I do have that sneaking feeling, obviously, that Kilkenny with Cody inside, and the boys like that. They'll want a high ball come in, they'll catch it, someone will come off the shoulder, stick in the roof of the net, and everyone will go, oh no, this is the way it was supposed to be. And that's the mental challenge when you play Kilkenny, and that's the one. And the last point I'll make is the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second half for Dublin is going to be absolutely key. Kilkenny traditionally have done this to Wexford the last day. Roster spoke about it after the game. They caught us a bit on the jump after half time. Dublin, whatever way the game goes in the start of the second half, will have to start well if they're going to get Kilkenny down the home straight. But yeah, I can't see it. Kilkenny win by a few points.
Well, let me finish off on a parent's perspective, because like Rory, we are Cork people living in Dublin now with Dublin children who are stone mad for it. And I'm in a dual club, but my young fella is hurling mad. And they are all going to it and all excited about it. The players have been around signing jerseys, getting hurlies ready. And the only thing that I can equate it to is 2013, when Dublin were on that run with Anthony Daly and that team of, you know, a really brilliant Dublin team. But the difference in Dublin after that win was significant. And I think there is a wave of positivity, whether they win or not. I definitely get a sense around the county, Rory, that there is a goodwill towards hurling that has not been in this county for some time. And just speaking as a parent here, it's actually been brilliant to see.
It's great, Jackie. I think, but the other thing as well, I think hurling is cashing in to a certain extent on, it's just an old fashioned sporting principle, the uncertainty of outcome. There are GAA people who would be traditionally football orientated, much more engaged about Saturday's game than they have been about all of the football matches so far, and are looking forward to the game. Lots of them going into the match, really looking forward to the game, looking forward to watching on TV. It's going to be live on RT 6 o'clock. It's an ideal time. The Dublin County Board, to be fair to them, shifted all the Saturday evening senior league games into Sunday morning. Our club are obviously still playing on Saturday, but they brought it forward. We're playing Vincent's in football, which has been brought forward 4 o'clock to allow guys to try and get in there or certainly watch on TV afterwards. So even the county board have done their bit to try and kind of create the buzz. And there's a real good feel-good factor. And I think it's about performing. I think it is about performance now, and trying to get the best out of them and capitalise on that. And just one small anecdote, we had our own mini All-Ireland hurling competition here last week. And we had 400 kids playing hurling for the week in a very much non-traditional hurling area. It was an amazing week. And of course, who won it? Kilkenny.
Dublin. Oh, Rory, what a way to finish it all. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, the other piece of silverware that will be handed out in Croke Park on Saturday is the Joe McDonagh. And I think having this as a double header, Brendan, is actually a brilliant idea, because like Lee Shoffley are going to bring a savage crowd themselves. And, you know, Rory maybe is right that you don't really know what sort of a crowd you would have got with a Leinster final with Kilkenny and Dublin in it. Because I think Lee Shoffley, particularly given the Joe McDonagh we had last year, which was probably one of the best hurling games of the year, I think this one's going to be unbelievable as well, and very tight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the word curtain raiser is not the right word to use for this one. This could be a standalone fixture that people want to go to. You saw last year's final, the hurt after the game that Offaly had. And this year will be an unbelievably good game as well. You know, I think the crowd will be in. It'll be, it's so much at stake, like, you know, it's like the championship playoff final, we'll call it, you'd have had before. Like, you know, in the soccer side, we're getting into the Premier League. It's like that, because for both these teams, they'd see themselves as being Lee McCarthy teams, not Joe McDonagh teams. And one of them was going to be fair disappointed after the game. And after the Leinster final, both teams are still in the championship. Whereas this way, like, there's so much at stake in this game. It's who deals with the pressure the best, who can find a freedom in the middle of the tension that's going to be there is going to be the one that'll jump the fence on this one. But I'm really looking forward to this game on Saturday evening.
The wave of positivity around Offaly, Rory, is significant. And I know, Brendan, your own disappointment with the Tipperary under-20s, but just watching Offaly develop into a county that could potentially be back at the top table again. I know it's going to take time, but I do think even just watching their development has been great.
Fantastic. And I think this game, like Brendan just mentioned, like we talk about the rivalry and the local derby and the sort of, you know, that real that local feel between Limerick and Clare. Well, it's not much different between Lee Shoffley. It's It's two counties that have had quite a few ding-dong battles now over the last number of years at this level. And this will be extremely tight. I think the game between them in the round robin stages, I think there was only 3 points in it. Laois lost one game, which I think was the last game, which I think they might have played a weakened team against Westmeath. So I'm not too sure if you could read a huge amount into that. I think, as you mentioned, the wave of optimism that's flooding into Offaly hurling over the last couple of weeks, I think is a fantastic thing. I think the two teams having to go out and face preliminary quarterfinals the week after is something maybe for another, as a discussion point, maybe for another day. I'm not entirely sure. Like, only once really has that proven a big success was when Laois beat Dublin and were able to ride that. I think it's very, very hard to come down after, whether you win or lose on Saturday, to go out and face Cork or Wexford the following week. I think that's tough. And I think maybe there's a better way. It's a discussion point for another day. I think that under 20 success, and commiserations to Brendan. I think his Tipperary team acquitted themselves incredibly well all through the year. And Tipperary will get plenty of players out of that under 20 team as well. No doubt. I think it was a victory for hurling that night in Nolan Park last Saturday night. But it is very soon for some of these Offaly under 20s. I think 9 or 10 of them are underage again next year, which would suggest that they're still very, very young. There's a big difference between an under 20 and an under 21 like we had in the old days.
They only have a couple though, Rory, don't they? Cahill King and Dan Burke are the two. Cahill played midfield against us and Dan played us at 11. Really good. So it's not that they have 8 or 9 of these under 20s playing. So from an Offaly point of view, it's hugely positive that they're getting to this without this generation of player getting burned up, as it were, a year or two too soon. So they have a development path that they're working through for all the world. So, you know, it kind of future-proofs what they have on Saturday. But the obviously, the under 20 win is huge for them. But to get into the Liam McCarthy coupled with that would be, that's where they feel they need to be now.
Big time, yeah. And I think there is definitely something to be done. I think the entire area, and look, it's a discussion point for another day, and when we have a bit more time, we might get into it. But the area around the preliminary quarterfinals and how you create some form of safety net to protect teams that go up to Liam McCarthy Cup and then don't yo-yo back down. I think there can be something done there, you know, to try and improve that little mid-tier so that you can give teams opportunity. Because we've seen it now with Carlow this year. You know, like, there is a chance that a couple of those really good Carlow players may decide, look, another year going back down playing Joe McDonagh, it's not just not for me. And they might decide to hang up the hurley and hang up the helmet. And that would be a shame. So I suppose it's just a little bit of a job of work, maybe, in a hurling context. It's not obviously a discussion point for this weekend. I think that fixture is going to be a fantastic standalone local derby. Hope there's a big crowd in nice and early for it, 3:30, a little bit early on a Saturday, but sure, look, it'll be fun. It'll be unreal. Hopefully the weather is good. And if we get anything like we got that final last year, my God, what a game.
That'll be a cracker. It really will. Who's going to win it, Brendan?
I think the momentum that Offaly have, I suppose, with the 20s winning the other night, and that factor, I suppose, if you're Willie Mair, you're saying to yourself, well, we'll show them like what our senior team can do, and in Laois we should be above in the Liam McCarthy. But I think that the hurt that Offaly will carry from last year, the experience they have in that game, I think might be enough to get that tide of emotion, to get them one more spin out of these guys, to get them over the line and get into the Holy Grail, which is the Liam McCarthy Championship next year.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. What a cracking weekend we have to look forward brilliant. To. Brilliant. Yeah, no, really, really will be brilliant. And as you say, Brendan, we're counting down the weekends. It's nearly all over. But
it's amazing, actually, Jackie, when you think about it. Like, I was working it out there, right? After Monday, we'll have 6 hurling podcasts left.
I know. God, it's so sad. Like, listen, God's game, lads. Give us more. That is it. Right, listen, we'll finish up there. Get out and enjoy the sunshine. And wherever you are going this weekend, have a brilliant weekend. Brendan, best of luck on Sunday for the Munster final. We'll be listening, we'll be watching, and hopefully we get another rip-roaring event. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you on Monday.